So you see, we're up here together. It's going to be a little different today.
She needs to stay on her side.
We're going to be preaching together. Robin Barrett has advised us not to preach on marriage, so don't worry, we're not going there. And Julia said she was going to be taking notes, so we're going to try not to say anything too off track, like, you know, off the record. But no, today actually we just want to share with you part of our testimony as a family, and we're going to focus more on family today. Some of the challenges that we've come through, some growth points, and some practical strategies that we've been working through to help give us more focus on God's purpose for our lives and God's purpose for our family and being here in Peace River. So we're going to start with a passage that Paul wrote. So in the Bible, Paul gave us lots of examples about knowing and living out God's purpose. He did that with his life. He did it through his conviction and through his disciplined actions, his disciplined choices and actions with his life. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 9, 16 to 27.
All right, here we go. We're going to skip 17 because it just shortened it, in case you're wondering.
We didn't think it was important.
Honestly. Yeah, we scratched that one. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them.
To the Jews I became a Jew, in order to win the Jews. And to those under the law I became one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. And to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. And I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it.
Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do not receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as though one beating the air. But I discipline my body, and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified.
And now Dr. John's going to share his testimony as a high-performance athlete. No, I'm just kidding. No, Paul, that's his look. Don't deviate from what we wrote.
Good luck keeping up with the notes, Addison.
So Paul was a man who knew his purpose well, and he kept it at the forefront of his focus. In regard to the use of his time, his energy expenditure, the decisions that he made, and really everything that he did. In verse 23, like it says, he said, I do it all for the sake of the gospel. That was his purpose and his focus. And in other words, the reason why he lived his life the way that he did, it was to preach the gospel share the gospel. Paul's life, it was a life well lived, and it wasn't wasted. He used his time very intentionally, and he actually accomplished so many things for God, so many things for the kingdom of heaven. But why? That's the question. Why? And it's a very important question, and it's an important question that we have to ask ourselves as well. Ask yourself, why do we do what we do? And which decisions are we going to make? Where are we going to go? How are we going to spend our time? It's very important in order to be living a life that God has asked us to live, to consider each choice that you make. Each choice and each action rests on the very question of why. Why do we do what we do? This question is the same reason, and what kind of focused our attention on this question was the same reason that a lot of businesses and organizations and even church denominations have what is known as a vision statement. It helps focus on the why. So I think that if Paul had a website today, his vision statement on the website would read, make known the gospel to all people. his purpose. So when John and I visited Peace River in May of 2016, it was to look at purchasing a business. God led us here. We prayed about it in the Sawridge, and then we decided to go for it. And we moved across the country from Ontario to here 6 weeks later, and we bought Valley Chiropractic. So as most of you know, John still had 11 months left of school, and I had been working in Toronto for about 3.5 years as an associate doctor, but neither of us had owned a business or a clinic before, and neither of us had lived anywhere outside of Ontario, so there was a lot of change. So together we had to go through a process in developing a vision statement for our newly owned business, and this helped us to focus our decisions and our staff expectations. With guidance from mentors, time, and effort, we developed a business plan and started with a vision statement, a mission statement, core values, and then much more, which we don't have to get into right now. But today, what we wanted to focus on was the first three things. The first three things are vision, mission, and values. And since we found these so beneficial in our business, we actually thought that they might be helpful to apply to our family life and our spiritual growth in order to keep us focused on our goals.
So now that she's done rambling, the first one is vision. And the first thing we learned about this was your vision is your why statement. It's idealistic. It's simple. And it answers the question, why do you do what you do? It's not supposed to be complicated, and it's supposed to be broad. It looks at a big picture. What is the goal of your life? So what inspires you to do what you do every day? When developing a vision statement, it should be easy to remember. That's the key, because then it's a slogan. Here's an example. I'll give you the one from we have at the clinic. This is what we developed. It is simply nurture generations. Two words, very simple, very concise. Nurture means to give an opportunity for something to grow, like nurture good soil, opportunity, and then generations. From the youngest person to the oldest person, everyone we can benefit. So as you can see, it's in the example, it's simple, it defines why we do, and it gives us the lens for our business. And then what we decided to do, which Emily's going to discuss a bit more, is how we then translated that into our personal life.
Yeah, so a clearly defined vision, because it helped us so much in clarifying our main purpose as a business, like I said before, we thought it could be a helpful tool for our family as well. So we decided to create a vision statement for our family. And actually, part of this idea, our brother and sister did a similar thing too in working through things with their family to serve as a lens in which to view our current lives as the Marshalls. So our family vision is know the truth, tell the truth. And we put a lot of thought into this, reading scripture and prayer, and some of the scripture that helped us decide on this vision as the focus for our family was John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Multiple other references that we went through in the New Testament referring to grace and truth coming through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, the Scriptures as the Word of truth, and the Bible tells us to walk in truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And this was really about knowing him more and walking closer with him daily, and helping us just in a short little phrase to keep our focus on that. And it also, in abiding in truth more, when it comes time to share the gospel, then it's more in our awareness and we're ready to do that. So as a family, we strive to know the truth and tell the truth, even though if it doesn't always happen, it's a learning point. Because the world is moving. It was something that was dear to both of our hearts because the world is moving further and further away from the truth. And it's so important for our kids to in the generation that they're growing up in, to be able to stand firm in what is true, know that their faith is based on truth, and be willing to stand up for it and say it out loud. So this strategy, it's just a strategy using the vision statement, something that is concise and easy to remember in helping us to maintain focus and give us clarity in making decisions, especially with specific situations that aren't necessarily directly written out in the Bible. Like, okay, it tells us to tell the truth or thou shalt not lie. But a simple example would be, you know, do we tell our kids the Easter Bunny is going to bring them chocolate Easter eggs because it's a fun activity? Well, because we have our vision statement, we have decided no, because it's not true, and we tell each other the truth as a family. Even if it's for a fun, culturally acceptable activity, we need to stand out from the culture because this is what we believe in and this is what we stand for. So having a family vision statement has just, it's made it a little more clean cut, and it has allowed us to have more consistent expectations for each other and for our kids in a simple manner. Although we have a lifetime of growth still ahead of us and learning, we have witnessed some immediate improvements in our communication and our decision-making, our consistency, and especially a conscious awareness that we're all on the same team and we're all working together towards united goals and a shared vision. So Paul said, like he said as we read, do not run aimlessly. He said, I do not run aimlessly, and I do not box as one beating the air. And that's what inspired us a lot. It's like, you know, we don't want to run aimlessly. We want to keep our focus on God, and we want to keep running towards the goals that he has set out for us in order to fulfill his purpose. So some recommendations in, if this is something you want to do in developing a vision statement, is just take time to consider your family's purpose. Or if you're, even if it's just for yourself, if you're a single, take time to consider your life's purpose. Read scripture and pray about the direction God is leading you with your focus and your energy. Brainstorm ideas, write them down, think about them, talk about them. Take as much time as you need to develop a vision statement that you feel, or a focus point that God is leading you in. The idea is to define a clear lens to view why you do what you do with your life. And we know that God wants us to love him, and he wants us to serve him and spread the gospel to all the nations. The Bible tells us that. But because we all have a specific part to play in the body and for the kingdom of God, this is just a way to help you identify your part more specifically and keep yourself focused on it, so that you are being intentional in fulfilling God's purpose for you and your family today. We need to do what God wants us to today, not tomorrow.
The second part that you do after you created your vision, your why, you can look at your mission statement. And your mission statement helps you understand your vision. Your mission statement is the how statement. It describes how you accomplish your vision, how you will reach your ultimate big picture goal. Like your vision statement, your mission statement should be concise and easily remembered. Establishing and defining your mission gives you a clear sense of what you must do in order to fulfill that vision. It's the action steps that make the vision attainable. So here's an example. I'm on the Mahengal Refugee Family Committee, and we spent an evening working through this. And the vision statement is impact the world, which at first glance is incredibly broad and huge. What do you mean impact the world? How do you actually impact the world? Everyone wants to have a legacy and wants to make a change, but that's our goal, is impact the world. But we use the mission statement to actually chunk it down into actionable steps. So the mission statement for the Mahengal Family Committee is through one compassionate act at a time. That's our how statement. We can only accomplish one thing at a time in our lives. And so we start with a compassionate act, a single one, and we focus on it and work through it. And when we're looking at, particularly with the Mahengal family, we can make a huge difference in a family's life. You know, there's three young kids, and who knows what they could become and what they could do for God later and what impact they can have. So it's always more far-reaching than the individual step. But you start with why you're doing what you're doing, and then how are you going to accomplish it?
So because the mission statement is the how statement, it must be an action statement. So for our family, we chose a mission statement of learn more and communicate every day. Our vision being know the truth, tell the truth. Our mission is how we do this. We learn more and we communicate every day. As Christians, we must continually strive to know what is true, and through reading scripture and prayer and sound doctrinal teaching, of course, right? And we must be able to communicate to this to people to share, in order to share the gospel with them.
If we look back at the main scripture, and we're looking at verse 26 and 27, Paul says, I do not run aimlessly. Paul has a vision. He has a direction, and he knows what God wants his life to be used for. He doesn't waste it, because he says, I do not box as though one beating the air. And then 27, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. This is the how. And he uses athletes very specifically as an example, because athletes have a goal. They know what sport they're in. They know what the end game is. And they take every step is planned out to their workout routines, to their eating routines, all these things to attain that vision. And then he continues, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So for us, we need to know what God is asking us to do. We then must be committed to what he's asked us to do. And we need to actually take the action steps to do it, to fulfill this vision. The third thing that we went through is values. So this one's actually, this one's fun. The values define the central standard of behavior governing how your family members are expected to behave, both individually and collectively. These values...
Behavior's always fun, right?
These values represent what you as a family hold as your highest beliefs and will serve as the guiding principles for your family's interactions. So you get to choose values by selecting words or statements that truly capture your highest values. Then the fun part is you choose a picture to represent each one. This will help you remember them better. So you ask yourself and your family members, what do you value most? You spend time in God's word in prayer and discussion, and as a family decide on the top three values. This you can then use to hold each other to account. Mums, dads, and kids, no one is above the values. You're all held to the same standard.
So the action step in developing values, sit down together as a family, or if you are single, even just sitting down by yourself in reflection and prayer, take time. As a family, you're going to talk about it and try to figure out these three most important behaviors that you all agree on. Honesty, listening, compassion, integrity, communication. Whatever behaviors that you're holding each other accountable to. The list is endless, and I'm going to share with you what we chose for our family, which might be different for your family. As a young family, we picked three simple pictures to help the kids help ourselves and the kids remember our values, and then we use words to explain them. So our first value that we chose is heart. Heart stands for love, trust, obey God, and love others. This is based on Luke 10:27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, what I love about this is I love that the heart, it just helps you, it just triggers your memory. So now every time I see a heart now, and I'm hoping the same thing for our kids, I think, love, trust, obey God, love others. And it's just that quick reminder of this is something that we need to be doing all the time. Practical martial examples where the heart and loving others is brought up would be, you know, like don't bite your sister's arm or push her down the stairs or put a bucket on your brother's head. All that, you know, the really loving behavior, that's what we address there. So that's fun. Our second value is the be. Be present, be committed, be creative, and be active. So partly because we want to instill a healthy lifestyle in our kids to be active, and also along the lines of what we've been reading through that Paul said, being committed and being disciplined in our actions. And this has been great when working through sticking to the process of learning something. So when, even though you might get frustrated with the process, it's important to be committed to it and think, you know, creatively and stay active. Our third value is the circus elephant, and the girls love this one. It is laugh when it's silly and listen when it's serious. So they love the first part, laugh when it's silly, because we like having lots of fun. But we know that listening is important and we all need to work on it. So this one being based James 1:19, let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So this is the value that we all need the most work on, of course. but we are working on it, and it's good, and it's particularly helpful when working through behavioral outbursts in our house. Lots of fun. And it's a reminder to laugh, that you can laugh at certain situations, you know, and lighten the mood. And then at other times, if it's involving, you know, safety or danger or something, it's a serious thing, and you need to listen for the kids, and, you know, especially Daddy, he needs to listen and do that too.
Occasionally.
So yeah, I digress.
So just kind of recapping as we're just wrapping up the three things is your vision, mission, and values. Yours may be completely different than ours. So we just gave you ours as an example. We've found these statements are very valuable. They help clearly define the expectations between each other, so how we all act. It has decreased communication miscues, and it helps with decision making. So here's an example of how it helps with decision making. So an organization knocks on my door and they want a bottle drive. Well, what is the organization? I now have a clear standard of how I'm going to decide yes or no if I'm going to give them something or not. So, does it define truth the way God defines truth? And then, does it actually fit within our outline of our vision, mission, and values? And then, another example that came up in particular for us, for Violet being in kindergarten. So, we came across, at Christmas time, us being asked to tell Violet to not tell other kids Santa isn't real. And so, we actually had to sit down and discuss this, because our vision is know the truth, tell the truth. And Santa is not real. So we had to tell her that. And for her telling other kids is she needs to tell the truth. Well, I'm sorry, Mom, that's upset. Violet will always tell the truth. We will not teach her to accommodate other people to make them feel good with not the truth. So that's how, in an example, how it became very clear in that decision making.
And how the mission ties into that is sometimes, and you know, not just this situation, but there'll be tons of situations in our lives that come up where we need to sometimes as a family practice, what are we gonna say? If someone says this to us, well, what's the response for that? And that's where the learning for us, learning and communicating about things every day was very important, because you know, if then a child says to her, well, what about this? Well, what are you going to say back? Because you need to be able to know that what you're saying is based on the truth.
So we will actually role play.
Yeah, role play and prepare. If you want to know more about role playing, talk to Paige. It's great. So other examples at home where we see this helping us in action would be, you know, Tessa, another scenario. Tessa's, she loves fruit snacks, so everyone's happy when the fruit snacks come out. It's when the fruit snacks go away that, you know, freakouts can happen. So in order to avoid freakouts, Violet's thinking, oh, it's a good idea to just say, well, if we hide the fruit snacks and say we don't have any more. Well, no, we still have more. It's just that you're only allowed to have so many, and that's the truth. And regardless of whether it's going to make you really mad, we need to be able to work through these behaviors. So if you want more advice on that, talk to the Barrett family. They have more kids than us.
But ultimately, what we're encouraging you guys to do in creating these type of this process is it adds an increase in accountability. So, you know, if Emily says something, I can say, you know what, I don't know if that was quite right, or she more often corrects me. And it works with the kids. And so it really streamlines us all going the same direction. Mm-hmm. We're all on the same team, and we all have the same end goal in mind.
Yeah, and what we want to leave you with is that this is not to say, you know, you guys have to do exactly what we're doing, but it was just to, as we are part of one body, to share some things that we've been working through that have really helped us a lot, especially from when we were younger and even before we had kids. You know, when you're first married and you're working through life as a couple and life as a family, and you can look back and see where you have grown and think, wow, this part really helped us through a lot of things. And for those of you who are, you know, further along in your walk, in your journey, we would love to know what things have helped you too. And I think it's important for us as a body to share with each other. And we are all going through this process together. This strategy we just thought really helped give us clarity in God's purpose for our family. And we encourage you, it could be helpful for you. And we want to be able to encourage each other in Christ. And we want you guys to be able to do the same. And we really do pray that by sharing part of our journey, that it would serve to help you with wherever you're at in your journey right now. I love, this is kind of a paraphrase quote, but if we are still alive, it means our purpose has not yet been fulfilled, which means the most important part of our lives have not yet been lived. So we love you, and we thank you for this opportunity. We appreciate you. May God bless you. Love one another, church.
I'm just going to close in prayer, and then the worship team will come back up. Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for this church and this opportunity to allow Emily and I just to share, and we're so grateful and humbled by that. And Lord, may what we share just be helpful to someone. And we just ask, as we all go separate ways this week, that you would just be with us, that we would see your purpose in our life, that we would live it out and make a change and do the things that you have asked us to do. Lord, keep us safe as we travel. In Jesus' name, amen.